Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
It's News Talk 830 WCCO's Live Outdoors
with Ron Shera and Mike Max.
You're not coming through the microphone here for me.
You can't hear me?
Well, this is, yeah.
No wonder you're smiling.
This is the first-class outfit we got here.
What happened? Did you plug it in, Devin?
I did.
No, I can hear it here.
You know, see, this is so...
It's probably operator error, Devin, so thank you for trying to help, but...
You got nothing on Sid Hartman on Sunday.
Yeah, right.
Where's the button? You're there.
I suppose you've jumped on the Cousins bandwagon now.
Never got off it.
Huh? Don't give me that. Never. You TV guys were jumping off like crazy.
No, he's a good man who's just keeps a straight line, man. He knows where you got to get.
Yeah, what were you saying a couple weeks ago, huh?
I said, they changed the offense. So I went and told Diggs. I said, Diggs, sit out of practice. That'll get their attention.
Oh, that's right.
He did. Now look what's happening.
I know. Well, good for you. Yeah. I didn't know you had such power there. Yeah. Hey, we're going to we had some strange weather this past week, as you well know.
Yeah.
Especially I know. With the snow in North Dakota, et cetera, so if you're an old duck hunter, you watch all these weather movements and you say, because... it could be that weather was such that a heck of a lot of ducks.
Yeah, that's my question. How many went through?
They went all. I mean, who knows? I mean, we don't know, and we won't know until later. But a weather phenomenon like that usually will move a lot of birds, and then you add snow. They ain't going to stop in North Dakota, and not with the 3 feet of snow, I don't think. And but anyway, we're going to talk to Steve Quartz. He's DNR's duck guru, and get his take on it.
And he generally focuses on Minnesota, right?
Well, he does, but they get reports from all over.
Flyway leaves clues, how they say.
But the same thing could happen in Minnesota. We didn't get the snow, but we got the strong northwest winds, and blah blah blah, and cold dropping temperatures. It could have. Pushed a lot of birds south, but we don't know that either. But southern Minnesota probably should have had an influx of ducks. Maybe Steve Quartz will know that. Then, of course, we had the big pheasant opener this past weekend. What great weather we had for that.
Oh, boy, just perfect, huh?
Yeah. Can't beat those sunny October afternoons. Hear the cackle of the old rooster come out of the grass, huh? Apparently the governor did. I don't know if that rooster cackled that he got, but
they did very well down by Austin.
He supposedly whacked it. Yeah, they got 44.
That's a big number, I would think. I don't know how many hunters they had, but
they had 140 hunters.
Okay,
that comes out. I did a little math there. It comes out to 0.25 birds per hunter.
Okay,
that is a quarter of a bird per hunter. But they got
and the governor was fortunate enough to be one of those. 0.25.
Yeah, yeah. They got 44 pheasants down there. I don't know. I'm only laughing. I'm laughing because you're laughing.
I'm not saying it'd be hard to come by 45 pheasants. How many hunters you got?
Well,
that's a really good hunt if you could find 45 roosters and knock them all out.
That could be a record for Moore County. I don't know.
It could be a record, yeah.
I don't know. They're
beautiful birds, man.
Am I?
They were not young. The pictures I saw, they were beautiful, mature, good size.
I'm not. Are you suggesting they've seeded those fields?
I never suggest that. But one time I went on one of these hunting excursions. It wasn't the governor's opener, but it was similar. A bunch of politicians, a bunch of people to try to promote Western Minnesota. So I went out with a group and we walked a field and we got, I think, 14 roosters
mm.
and saw one hen.
Really?
So that was really unusual. I mean, we talk about being in the right place, right?
Well, I guess so. That's,
yeah, I mean, jeepers.
That's like going into the woods and just seeing bucks,
just
you know?
Just see bucks. Everywhere you look, there's a buck, you know?
Wow, wow.
Well, that can happen, you know?
Well, I'm not saying they seeded those fields down either. I give them credit for going out and trying to get anything on a day like that Saturday. But I do, as I shared with you earlier, I do remember distinctly going to the South Dakota governor's pheasant hunt, an invitational hunt. And one year when South Dakota was way in the doldrums of pheasant numbers, and we went to this ranch, and boom, my gosh, we were getting birds up, and then we got to the end of this little short grassy thing, and there were like three or four roosters just running ahead of us out there, all
just
roosters.
Running, huh?
Yeah, they didn't want to fly, like maybe they didn't know how to fly. I don't know. But that was my first tip-off.
You're not saying that anybody's playing a rooster, but you're just...
Well, the governor wanted to make sure we all had a good time. So that's what happens.
That's funny. Yeah. Now, I've been thinking about this lately. What if I bought an island and I made it my personal pheasant preserve, plus I grew some corn in the middle and flooded it so that the ducks would come and matriculate in? Could I do that?
Why not? You could do it here. You don't have to buy an island.
Yeah, but if I buy an island, I'd have complete access, and I could, you know,
yes,
keep the riffraff like yourself up more easily.
Well, of course, of course. I don't quite understand your question, because we've talked about this before. You got this water on your corn brain, in your brain.
Yeah, but they just keep coming in to feed.
No. Exactly. They do this in Arkansas all the time. I've
yep.
told you that.
Yep.
They have
hunted down there where they do.
They
that.
Set up fields with a little dike around them.
And then they raise the water.
And they plant corn in there in the summertime. And then they add water to it, like right now. They right. They just add 6 inches of water to the corn.
Yeah.
And the corn is not good in Arkansas anyway,
right.
So who cares? But yeah. there's corn there. And there's
and
water.
That is not considered baiting, right?
No. No. If you had water and threw the corn in, then it's
right.
baiting. But if you have corn and then you add water, it's not baiting. Let me tell you, the mallards, they can't stay out of those places.
And then in the summertime, I'd have a Ferris wheel out there and things like that so kids could come and enjoy it.
You're really, you're quite the entrepreneur, I got to say.
I'm just thinking, you know.
Yeah,
you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Should I look into that at least?
Please do.
How many acres would I need?
Send me a note.
See how it goes? Yeah. Tell them we got coming up, Ron.
Well, I already told you, Steve Court's going to join us, DNR duck guru. And are we taking a break now? We're going to talk to Steve.
No, we're taking a break, but we got to ask, too.
Well, we're going to talk to Seth Fighter, the fighter man.
He's fishing right now?
Yeah. Well, he left Mille Lacs today. I'm sure
he's cold up there.
That's not going to stop the Seth man.
Okay.
When he gets some llamas, as they call him. But, you know, he won this huge national tournament the other day. I got to find out how he did it. So you and I might be able to follow in his footsteps someday.
Have you fished with him in the same boat or not?
Yeah, I fished with him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, were you fishing or just doing a story on
it? No, we were fishing and doing a story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very humbling. It would be like you...
Going with you?
Yeah, it'd be like you being with me. You'd be so humbled. Thank you for that.
Ron, anyway. Can you get that lure out of the tree?
We'll talk to Seth the right. next half hour.
Lots of good stuff straight ahead on Live Outdoors. Phil Collins.
Yeah, that's quite the music.
That's coming.
That's hunting music
Hold
right
on.
There. Huh?
It was hunting music.
Ron was a crooner back in the day.
Hey, we got to get our guest on here before he passes out. He's wondering what the heck show is he on.
Break him in, keep it lively.
Steve Courts, are you there tonight?
That's a pretty fitting intro song.
Thank you.
I think the past weekend was very good as far as ducks moving into the state.
That's our question.
Coming.
That's what we were asking now. So we suspected it would be a big duck movement into Minnesota, and you saw that, confirmed that?
Yep, I think pretty much statewide. I heard very, very good reports from northern Minnesota all the way south.
Now, another question we had, with 3 feet of snow in the Dakotas, et cetera, I know Minnesota didn't get hit that hard, but is it possible that some of those birds in that big front that came through just said, we're just going to keep right on it going? Or
yep.
Is it, tell us about that.
Yeah, I think that certainly probably influenced a number of birds. You know, it didn't nothing really froze, but you know, it covered all the fields. So you know, I think a lot of the field feeding birds, mallards and things, probably influenced. Maybe shifted them a little bit east into Minnesota. But yeah, they had pretty significant snows, you know, all the way up into southern Manitoba. Power's still out in some places, and you know, I've heard 3 feet plus in some areas.
Well, for sure, that would move the mallards. That probably, as you said, move some into Minnesota and maybe a lot of them into South Dakota.
Yeah, and you know, I heard a pretty diverse bag as well of you know, a lot of all sort of the mid-season migrants, a few cans, redheads, pintails, gadwall, pretty much you name it, and people seemed like they were seeing them over their decoys. I shot a limit of blue-wing teal on Friday in the snow, which I don't think I've ever shot a teal in, or a blue-wing in the snow, and it was snowing pretty good and held out to get a limit of them, so it was pretty fun.
Wow, what kind of water, slough or what?
Yep, it was a rice lake, and there was more ringnecks and mallards around. But
is that where Central
Park
is? I
had four blue wings, and I decided to hold out and try and get six. So,
oh, fun. What, is that Central Park of the State or where?
No, west of Bemidji, about a half hour.
Yeah.
Well, how do you explain that? Because the blue wing deal.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
They should have been gone by October 1st.
They yeah, and most were, and these are just you know, I didn't see very many, but. Just sort of some late holdouts and big fat birds that plucked really easily and will be pretty good on the grill tomorrow night.
They may have come from Manitoba, as you mentioned, for example.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Up until this big movement here, and I don't know how many duck hunters were out this weekend. I mean, it you really had to be into it, I think, and of course with the strong winds, et cetera, it could be a dangerous situation. But you know, duck hunters being duck hunters, I suspect the diehards were out there. But prior to this, Steve, I kept hearing some really crappy reports about the duck opener or duck season up to this point.
Yeah, I think overall, on kind of traditional areas, it's been slow from opener on. I think a lot of that's probably due to just so much water everywhere. The very good reports I've heard early in the season have all been virtually all on private land, flooded stubble, flooded corn, that sort of thing. And but on kind of the traditional lakes, it has been relatively slow season, and there's just so much water. Pretty much all over the state, areas like Thief Lake are up, well, it's as high as it's ever been. They've never recorded water levels that high, and the same all the way from north to south. So dispersed birds a little bit, and then, but the stars kind of lined up this past weekend. And, you know, a lot of times when you get conditions or a front on the weekend, it's very good. If it happens midweek, a lot of people just aren't out, but we were kind of fortunate that had the good weather on the weekend.
Well, that's good. Minnesota duck hunters deserve a weekend like that. Let me ask you something, Steve. Well, I don't know why I haven't asked you this earlier, because my sidekick here keeps asking about taking a field and flooding it.
Yeah, an island.
And then putting water on top of the corn. And you wonder, and
the Ferris wheel in the summer.
I don't understand why Minnesotans don't do that. They do that in Arkansas all the time. They take a cornfield, and in the fall, they dump water on top of it. They have a little dike system, and the mallards can't stay out of it. And in Minnesota, if you have water and you put corn on it, that's baiting. You can't do that. But if you have some corn and you add water, you can do it.
Yep, it's perfectly legal, and, you know, it just doesn't happen up here.
Why is that? Because it's so effective.
It is. I think it's to some extent, you know, you're flooding it only about a foot deep or less. So because we're going to freeze up, it's a very short period of time that you'd have water there for ducks. And, you know, down south, they probably have a much longer hunting season, or not a longer season, but they're not dealing with freeze up, but it's legal here. You need a permit. Depends on where you get the water from, but people just don't do it up here. It's very rare, but it would be very effective.
See, Maxie, you could start a trend up here.
But how do you pump the water?
With a well?
Either out of a well, out of the river.
But I mean, the well would have to be close.
Yep.
To
do it from a river, you
need
a
permit. Just do it
with
buckets.
But
to a river close enough that you could run a pump?
In some areas you could do that, and that's what they do down Missouri, Arkansas. Most of that is right off some of the major rivers. They're dike, and they pump inland of the dike, the river dike, and it is very effective, but it just something that just hasn't ever caught on up here.
Yep, very strange. I found that strange.
Well, I'm thinking now.
Yeah. Well, Steve, thank you for joining us tonight.
Hey, Steve, I got one last question. How scientific can you be in this day and age about how many ducks go through or if a lot of the migration went through? And is there anything you can do, scientifically speaking, and I don't know if we're talking about tracking devices or what in this day and age, that would really tell you scientifically, a ton of birds went through Minnesota and kept flying over the weekend?
We've got a bunch of mallards right now with satellite radios on them, and there's other species that are marked like that, and the technology's getting way better. The radios are getting less expensive, so we kind of learn more and more every year. But, we could tell you. I don't think the mallards we have marked in Minnesota, none of those birds have left yet, so they're still here.
Okay.
But, we could, with enough money and... we could mark a whole bunch of different species and sort of answer some of those questions.
Well, first, I'm going to get that flooded cornfield taken care of. Steve, thanks for your call. Thanks for taking our call.
Yeah, no problem.
Ron Shearer, Mike Max, Live Outdoors, talking fishing around the corner, right?
Yeah, we're going to talk to
the fisherman.
The Spider-Man, Seth Spider-Man.
The Spider-Man. He likes hunting ducks, too.
He does. We'll find out about that as well. Maybe we'll find out exactly where he's hunting.
Take a break, come back. Live Outdoors. Another song dedicated to Ron Shearer for me.
I've been around for you, been up and down for you, but I just can't get any relief.
Time for me to fly, right?
I've swallowed my pride for you.
Welcome back, Live Outdoors.
Boy, is that ever great outdoor music now, you know what I mean? It's so romantic.
You need to write some stuff.
It's so romantic, Maxie, to be sitting here with you, especially.
We're going to need to have you pen a couple of things. I want to show, I got a text from my good friend Pete Schmitz, and he says, if you wanted to flood a field, you install inline water level control structure on drain tile line. Control the water level.
There you go.
Why didn't you think of that when we were talking about it?
Well, I didn't, because you're the one that wanted to flood a cornfield to attract
right.
the ducks,
yep.
which is what they do in Arkansas.
Yep.
So you should, but it's not done here in Minnesota. We've always wondered why, haven't we?
Yep, and it's simple, sounds like.
Listen, here's a guy that doesn't need any flooded fields to shoot a duck, and he doesn't need any help from you or me to catch a bass either.
Yeah.
The one and only Seth Spider, the Fighter Man. Good morning. Yeah, good evening, Seth. How you doing?
Yeah. Good. How are you doing?
Well, I haven't been fishing all day like you have been.
Yeah. A little crispy this morning.
A little crispy.
Yeah. Hey, listen, congrats on your big win in another national bass tournament. Was that last week, I think it was.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. I mean, this is very impressive, buddy. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, thank you. It was a fun week, that's for sure.
But you boated, I had the numbers in front of me, and then I misplaced them here, but you had limits of, with 3 days in a row, I think, of averaging more than between 4 and 5 pounds, 5 smallmouth. Am I right so far?
5 1/4 average.
5 1/4.
5 1/4 yep. average. I mean, that's, did you ever think you could do that?
No. No. I don't think I've never caught them that good there.
Well, yeah.
Really lucky on day one, and the next 2 and 3 days, or day 2 and 3, it was just insane. The place I found, I didn't think I had that many fish on it, but after day 3, I don't know, there were thousands there.
What made you stop there? I understand. I read a little bit. It was just a big flat you'd fished a year or two ago and remembered it, and you started throwing a Rapala DT10, I think, was it?
Yeah, I was doing a lot of cranking that week.
What made you stop there?
I knew that area was decent in practice, and, you know, I side-scanned that whole area and got a little bit of rock on it just because it's off the – there's a dredged canal that runs through the lake, so when they dredged it, they dumped a lot of the dredgings along the side of the canal or whatever, and that lake doesn't really have any rock in it except for, you know, where they dump those piles and stuff. And there's actually – I found, like, probably close to, like, 100 of these really little rock piles all just scattered across this flat.
Huh.
And ended up fishing a bunch, like probably 100 of them in practice, and like 2 specific ones I got bites on, and the rest of them I never caught a fish or saw a fish or anything on. And those 2 were just absolutely loaded, and I don't know what made it that way, because there were so many of them that looked identical in the same area, same depth zone, and those 2 were just special. I don't know exactly why, but
yeah, not uncommon though. You'll see that a lot.
That's a puzzle for all of us. You find something you think is 2 places that are similar, but one has this holding fish, the other isn't, and you can't figure out why. I mean, just why?
Yeah, mystery.
But well, the smallmouth seems to be your fish there, Seth.
I enjoy fishing for them.
You're pretty good at it, I'd say.
A bit of time doing it, you know, having Mille Lacs fairly close, and quite a few good smallmouth fisheries in Minnesota.
And this win now qualifies you for the Classic. And when will the Classic be? That's the World Series of Bass Fishing, the Classic.
Yeah. First week of March in Lake Gunnersville in Alabama.
Have you ever fished there?
Yeah, I've been there twice now.
Okay. What do you think of that place?
I did okay this year when we were there, and the time before I had a really, really bad tournament there. So kind of still mixed feelings on it, but somebody's going to win, and somebody's life's going to get changed after that deal. Just
there you go.
Nice to have a chance at it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, for sure. There aren't many of us qualified for the Classic.
Do you pre-fish? Do they give you 2 days to pre-fish, or what do they give you?
It actually ends up being, I think, almost 4 days. It's longer than our normal practices, but it's a lot different deal. It's kind of spread out because we have media days and stuff built into it, so you end up practicing like 3 full days, like quite a ways before the tournament, maybe 5-6 days before the tournament actually starts, and then you get 1 day of practice like right prior to the tournament, and that's it.
You mentioned and you're right, qualifying for the Classic is an achievement in itself. I think I've been around long enough when the Classic first started, and I think, I could be wrong, but I think Al Lindner is the only Minnesotan who's ever qualified for it besides yourself. Am I right?
I know he has. That's 100% true. The fact he's the only other Minnesotan, that I can't say for certain, but it might very well be right.
Yeah, for sure. Now, listen, I have to ask you this. You call some of your big fish llamas.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Yeah.
Stupid inside joke between me and a friend on a night that a few beers may have been involved.
Just a few, huh?
We said it on the live version of Bassmaster one day, and it kind of just, I don't know, took off.
So now you call them llamas instead of pigs or hogs,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that separates you from...
Yeah.
I mean, so a few beers involved with that. Well, see, that's a fond memory.
Sometimes that's when you get your best thoughts.
Yeah, I guess.
So how'd you do today on Mille Lacs?
Fishing was pretty good. Water, I was kind of thought it would be a little slower with how much... It'd been a while since, you know, a week or so since I've been there with all the cold weather we had in the last few days. I kind of thought it might be a little tougher, but they were ready to bite, and all the ones we caught were about as fast as they could possibly get.
What was the water temperature there?
51.
Oh, that's getting down there.
I thought it was going to be in the 40s, yeah, because I was there the week prior, and it was, you know, 53, 54, but, you know, we got a bit of snow and just quite a few days in a row where it just never got warm. I thought the temp was going to drop a bit more, but I don't know. It was the best I've seen all year, to be honest with you.
What do you like about the smallmouth? Because you clearly covet that fish, and you don't have to even go to Mille Lacs like you did today, but you did anyway, because I suppose you learn something all the time, but what is it about that smallmouth in your mind?
Oh, they're just, I don't know, they're my favorite fish to fish for. They fight harder than anything else for their size. I like the way you catch them, and, you know, they usually put on a pretty good show when you hook them. Not so much now that the water's getting cold, but, you know, earlier in the year, they tend to jump 3-4 feet out of the water and make you earn it, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. They bust your line, otherwise, if you don't,
You're
doing.
Huh? They're tough.
for sure. Well, Seth, let me...
Ask about duck hunting. You like to duck hunt, too, around
Seth.
Yeah. You been out this year?
Love it. Yeah, Saturday, Sunday was the first 2 days I've got out, because when I got home, we were in our split or whatever, so it was closed, and I was gone while opener and all that was taking place.
And how'd you do?
We crushed them Saturday and Sunday.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was fun.
What species?
Saturday we shot a limit of wood ducks and mallards and geese.
Huh.
And then Sunday was mallards and teal.
Sloughs were you on or what?
Both flooded out spots. Saturday was a flooded out bean field, and Sunday was actually, believe it or not, flooded timber, which is the first time I've ever hunted that in Minnesota.
But they come into that Minnesota too, huh?
A couple little wood duck holes. It was just,
yeah.
We got so much rain when I was gone, there's like water places it's normally not, you know, and
eating
the ducks
acorns.
Are taking advantage of it, getting in a lot of good feed and stuff in there.
Eating acorns in there, I'm sure.
Everything, yeah.
But, you know, wood ducks should have been out of the state long before. It's been a bizarre migration, frankly. And we were just...
We shot blue wing teal yesterday.
I know. We were just talking to the DNR waterfowl guru, and this weekend he was out. He got his limit of blue wing teal.
Blue wings.
He said it never got him this late in October.
Yeah, especially after, you know, it snowed, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to start questioning
his
climate change pretty soon.
First snowflake hit the ground, every blue wing teal's halfway across the country.
Yeah. Well, he thinks that those blue wings probably... We're pushed out of Canada because Manitoba and Saskatchewan got a lot of snow, too. So those teal probably came down there.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're just about...
It's looking like we might have, like, one of our best duck years ever, because I've never seen, like, this many birds in this big of a push this early in the year, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty rare we get snow, you know, first week of October.
Well, the other thing is North Dakota got crushed by snow, so a lot of those...
Yeah.
Field feeding mallards, they're going to come to Minnesota or into northeast South Dakota for sure.
Yep.
Or down the Missouri.
We got a lot of water after that rain, so I mean, there's lots of places for them to sit.
Yeah. And we're almost out of time, Seth, but I wanted to give you a chance, and I know Maxie would love to hear this. I want to give you a chance to recall the day that I outfished you out there on Mille Lacs. With the governor Dayton at the time.
How long is this going to go? You can't go get a cup of coffee quick, Seth?
It was a fun day.
Yeah, it was. Thank you, Seth, for...
We all caught some fish.
Well, actually, Seth outfished everybody. But he was catching walleyes, and we were supposed to be catching smallmouth, and I got the smallmouth. Anyway, fun time. I had a fun time with you, and a fun time doing that story with you on Minnesota Bound.
Yeah. That turned out awesome. Thanks again for doing that.
You're welcome, buddy.
Thanks, Seth.
Thank you, Seth.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Good fishing, buddy.
Yeah, we'll see you.
So is the most important thing, excuse me, after you find an area where you think there's fish for bass, how important is the cast? How important is it that you're really good with the rod and reel? Or if there's fish, it doesn't matter. You just got to get it out there.
Well, it depends on what style you're fishing at the time. But you and I were talking off the air. When I did the Minnesota Bound story on Seth, we were on Minnetonka, and it was about this time of year, and he wanted to, you know, his knowledge of bass, he said they're going to be shallower now, so we started casting some docks, and I fashion myself a pretty fair fisherman, and I'm a pretty good caster, but I'm not really good at casting under docks because I don't do it very much.
The wrist action, that's the big thing.
I don't do it very much.
It's all
and,
wrist.
But Seth, he put on a show for me like you wouldn't believe. I mean, left, right, didn't matter how, Doc, how far away, how close. He could scoot that lure like a like skipping a rock, you know?
Yeah.
He was skipping those lures 10, 15, 20 feet under the dock, way back where a bass might feel secure
kind of
there.
Sidearms it, huh?
Sidearms, yeah, you have to sidearm. You got to come in low like you would if you were going to skip a rock.
Yeah.
But he could do it going sidearm to the right or sidearm to the left.
Yeah. That'd be easy for me because I mean, picture him athletic.
But yeah, I'm sure it'd be easy for you. You'd have the, your fishing line wrapped right around your neck,
you
buddy.
You'd PO'd the dock
over. Yeah.
End up with but a I, bass plug in his right
But my
his
point
dock.
Is, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm a pretty good caster, but then I watched him. I go, you know what? I'm not good at all. If I even thought I could compete with somebody like that, I'm just kidding myself because he's so far ahead, I give up. Plus, he's younger, he's a young buck, and he catches llamas, and I try to catch bass. So there you go.
There you go, man. Just like if you and I went duck hunting, it'd be the same thing. Take a break, come back, Live Outdoors. Welcome back, Live Outdoors. Sports to the Max, 8 o'clock. Dr. Bill McGuire will join me right off the top. Owns the Minnesota United, used to run United Healthcare. Always interesting to visit with him about what he's learned about professional sports since he took over. Ron, this is a great time of the year. It's about a couple weeks away before you get ready for the deer hunting season.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're going to have probably crops out for some time. To me, the pheasant hunting season is not going to even really start until November.
Well, I agree, and let me tell you what, if there's a whole
except
bunch
by Austin, where they got plenty of birds.
if there's a whole bunch of standing corn left for the opening of deer season in the southern half of the state, it's going to be a slow deer season,
yeah.
too, because those
yeah.
deer go in the corn. But I'm not thinking of that too much yet. I'm, you know, I got blanked last week. I couldn't even, didn't even want to put my boat in the water and did not because 15 to 30 mile an hour winds.
So you never even went fishing.
And rain Thursday.
So it's about the same as if you went fishing.
I mean, I got all kinds of sob stories you want to hear it. But
yeah.
Coming up now this coming week, I'm going to head back up north, probably Thursday, and see if I can get one last itch scratched for a little fall fishing. And then probably that's probably going to be it because I head
why
to South.
Well, I had to throw a few decoys out off your dock and see if anything flies by.
I had Well, I could, I suppose.
Can you do it right in your backyard or not?
Yeah, I could. I could. I hear okay. those duck hunters right not very far away. They wake me up in
okay.
the morning.
Yeah.
But I might head to South Dakota next week, so I'll have to call you from there.
Are you going to pheasant hunt or what are you going to do there?
Yeah, we're pheasant hunting near Clark, South Dakota.
Oh, just going into Clark?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the report so far there? Do you know?
I don't because the season just opened Saturday.
Yeah, same as us.
Yeah. So okay. we're all right.
I thought maybe you had some well-placed sources there with all your outdoor experience and expertise, you know?
Yeah. Well, I can always go for that. But, yeah, I'll call you. So,
You know, hopefully here pretty soon I'll get out and have some more stories to share with you.
Well, maybe I'll be gone when that happens. So. I'm always anxious to hear if you got a duck this year.
Well, I'm hoping. I mean, I don't want to be overly optimistic, but when I hear those guys talking, it sounds like there's some birds out there.
Well, yeah, and you held up somebody else's goose a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
That was a good start.
I mean, that was heavy, too. That wasn't easy to hold that up for a picture.
Yeah, I bet.
They took multiple pictures. That was hard because I needed different angles so I could use it again time and time again. So
of course.
We had to keep taking different angles so that each time out I could send a different picture to you.
Give them your best side each time. You didn't give the goose's best side most of the time.
No.
Huh?
No,
so,
I tell you what, there are no shortage of geese in this town.
But no, seriously, this has been a tough fall from a standpoint of weather.
And then you had your cold.
And I know you can't do anything about the weather, but it's been tough. And so I've just been whining about it. That's all I can do.
Yeah.
Now the Rum River is still way up into my backyard, so all the fall smallmouth fishing.
Throw a couple decoys there and see what happens.
Oh, if the duck fell in the water, I'd never catch it. It'd be
down the stream so fast.
Yeah, it would be in Peoria before it got there.
Well,
so
I'll be happy to, you know, as is usually the case. I don't like to say it until November usually, but if you need some Thanksgiving dinner, I'll make sure I take care of you.
Yeah, well, thank you. You you keep your ducks to yourself. You know, it baffles me, and I'm no chef. I don't know if you are or not.
I'm pretty good, yeah.
I'm well, good for you. Yeah. Good for you. I figured you're good at everything. So, but I, yeah. Yeah, I'd go to Saskatchewan, and we'd shoot some cans, redheads, mallards, take them into the Chinese restaurant,
yep.
And say, you just cook them whatever way you want to, and they'd be delicious.
Did they really?
Oh, my gosh, they'd be so good, I would just overeat. And I said, I got to take some of those cans and redheads home. I take them home and
cook them.
Bingo. And
you don't know what they were doing, huh?
You want to throw them out, basically.
All right, we got to go. I'll be back next week with some great outdoor stories, and who knows where Ron will be. Bill McGuire next.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.